Bring greetings to each one this morning, with the name of Jesus. God has blessed us richly again this morning. Appreciated that Sunday school lesson that we had today. I think the brethren's class could make several more Sundays out of that chapter, or that first part of that chapter. It was a blessing as we discussed that. This morning for a message, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. I'd like to read verses 23 through 32. I've titled the message this morning, Not My Will. Not My Will. I felt led to share this message because of some things that I've been struggling with personally, where there's a part of me that is standing up on the inside and it is crying out, I want my will, instead of not my will. So keep that in mind as we go through this message, that I am not one that has attained this or achieved this, but I'm speaking to myself first of all, and I'm not the authority on this subject. But I want to be used of God. I want to look at the Word of God to get the truth that God would have for us. And I believe that the will of man is something that, you know, we all contend with. We all have to deal with. There's something within us when things go against us. There's something within us that wants to rise up and scream out, my will. I want my will, versus the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, as he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will. He prayed, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Let's read here in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. It says, And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye then not believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Sometimes in life, we have the desire that God would just clearly speak to us in an audible voice and would tell us what his will is. And here, these chief priests and elders of the people came to Jesus and they asked him a question. By what authority are you doing these things? And we notice here that they didn't get an answer to their question. And I'd like to ask the question, why was that? I believe the answer is that the heart of these people was not prepared to receive the answer to that question. And I believe in the same way, as we go through life, there's many times that we may be crying out to God and saying, God, show me your will. When at the same time within us, our hearts are not prepared to receive God's will. Because that thing within us, that spirit within us that is crying out, I want my will, is still standing up. And we are not surrendered to God. And we are not saying from our heart, not my will. But we are saying, I want my will. So therefore, as long as that spirit within us, a spirit of rebellion against God, is standing, God will not reveal to us his will. because we are not prepared. Our hearts are not prepared to receive God's will. So maybe, first of all, before we pray and we ask God to show us his will, we need to pray and ask God to prepare our hearts to receive his will. And we need to come to the point where we can say from our heart, not my will. Going on in verse 28, he says, but what think ye? And I think he was referring to these chief priests and elders, to these people here, the Pharisees. He said, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So see how Jesus was bringing out that the publicans and the harlots were like this first man that were rebelling against God. They were saying, I want my will. But when they thought about it, when the Spirit of God drew them and convicted them, then they said, I'm sorry, Lord, not my will. And they went after all. And, you know, Jesus asked that question, which of these two did the will of his father? And the people answered correctly. They said the first. You know, which of these men here, which of these boys was living by my will, and which of them was living by not my will? The first one would have come out to start with as living by my will. No, I won't go. I will not, he said. But afterward, I believe the Spirit of God convicted him and smote his conscience, and he said, he repented of it. And he went, and he said, not my will. Yeah, I'll go work in your vineyard after all. I'm sorry. But the second one, he appeared to be saying, not my will. He said, I go, sir. But he didn't. The Pharisees, the Jews in that day, are like, or were like, that second son. I go, sir. And went not. And I believe today we can be caught up in that same thing, where we produce a mechanical worship, if you will, a mechanical Christianity, where we come to church on Sunday morning and we produce a mechanical worship, if you will, saying, I go, sir. By all the outward appearance, by what we say, it appears as if, yes, I'll go work in the Father's vineyard. But within, there's that spirit that does not go. You know, it would be so much better that we would be like the first son, that he would say, I will not. But when the Spirit of God convicts, then there's repentance, there's sorrow, and there's a going. And then the worship isn't mechanical anymore. It's a worship from the heart. It's an acknowledgement of the authority, the supremacy of Jesus Christ, of who he is. I had to think of Joseph. I believe he was a man that was living by not my will. We look at Joseph being unjustly accused and thrown in prison, and how he applied himself and was used in the prison there to meet the needs of those other men. You know, he could have sulked and pouted and carried on and thrown a fit in there. But he was living by not my will. David, when he was pursued by Saul, unfairly, unjustly, because he was God's anointed. He was the one that God had called to be king. He lived by not my will. Several times he had the opportunity. He was even encouraged by his men. You know, kill Saul. Get this over with. You really are the king. But David said, I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. He was living by not my will. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he asked for his own will, and his will was granted to him. And he went out and he destroyed his living with, you know, or destroyed his inheritance with righteous living. But it says when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and I will go to my father and I'll say, I am no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. So he went from, just like the first son, I want my will, he went to not my will. On the other hand, we have the elder brother. He appeared like he was living by not my will. But when the younger son, when the prodigal came home, that thing rose up within him. And he said, you know, this is not fair. Here I've been all these years serving you and you have never killed a calf for me. And here this bad guy comes back and you kill the fatted calf. You make a feast for him. And he refused to go in. He was living by my will. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How many times do we pray that, or we say that prayer, and yet we are asking for my will? That brokenness, that submissiveness is not there where we are saying, not my will. Even Jesus in John 5:30 said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And in Philippians it tells us that he did not exalt himself. When he was equal with God, he humbled himself. He was subject to the Father. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it tells us, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, that verse clearly speaks of not my will. It speaks of subjection, of being subject one to another. And, you know, it's not just the younger to the elder, but it says all of you be subject one to another. You know, it wasn't so long ago that I was one of the youngest in this congregation, but, you know, that's not true anymore. And I believe this verse is speaking to me. Some of you younger guys probably consider me an old man, but this verse is saying that I am supposed to be in subjection to you younger brethren. But within us, there is that spirit of the elder brother, that spirit that cries out, my will, my will. And you know, when we have that spirit in the church, it makes for a miserable church life. We have that spirit that says, I want my will. You know, when I demand fairness and my will from you, and you demand fairness and your will from me, it actually brings both of us into bondage. It locks us up. But when I accept unfairness and I choose not my will, but allow you to have your will, and you do the same to me, you accept unfairness from me and allow me to have my will, and see, and we both seek God's will, it brings release. It brings freedom. And actually, when we both seek the will of God, the will of Christ, and we acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ, like we heard about in our Sunday school lesson today, when we acknowledge that headship order of God that God has established, we acknowledge that in the church, and we are clothed with humility, and we accept the fact that life is not always fair, it brings unity in our midst. Because we are all brothers and sisters together. We are all seeking the will of Jesus Christ for his church. And we are giving him his rightful place as Lord of a church. And we have a common cause and spirit within us that is saying, not my will, but the will of God. As we pray in that prayer, thy will be done in earth, in the church, as it is in heaven. I'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Now these verses are written to servants, but as Christians, what are we other than servants? You know, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. James, the servant of Jesus Christ. John, the servant of Jesus Christ. Peter, the servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So we today, I believe, are called to be servants. He says in verse 5, Ephesians 6, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now that last part, you know, and this servant part, I believe, is talking about actually being servant to someone, or, you know, being a slave or being free in the physical sense. But, you know, spiritually we are all called to be servants. And being servants to Jesus Christ makes us free. It sets us free to do the will of God from the heart. And I believe that is the central key to having that ability to say from my heart, not my will, is to be able to do the will of God from the heart. And that only happens by being born again and by having the Spirit of Christ within. Because it's not something that you or I have within ourselves to have that Spirit. Because we are born with the Spirit of the elder brother. That old man that cries out, my will. It is the new man that puts that within us, that gives us the grace to say from our heart, not my will, but God's will be done. You know, when I give Jesus his proper place and the proper authority on the throne of my heart, that is what makes it easy for me to say, not my will, and to do the will of God from my heart. You know, the thing of saying, not my will, the thing of being broken, it's not the same as giving up and not trying anymore. You know, when we give up and we don't try anymore, that is actually giving the authority to the enemy, to Satan. That is making an agreement with Satan and, you know, acknowledging him as supreme, as being our Lord, our master. But when we say, not my will, We are acknowledging the authority and the supremacy of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are yielding ourselves to whatever he asks of us. We are saying, when we say, not my will, we are saying that, God, I recognize that you are right, that you are above all, that whatever you ask of me is right, it's fair, it's good. And I'm willing to accept that, whatever it is. I have nothing to offer of myself, but I am yours. Now, I have to think of, you know, young children and playing, and they both want the same toy, and a fight ensues because of that. And maybe discipline is meted out, and the one child goes over to the other and sweetly says, you know, you can have this. You know, that child is saying, not my will. I give up my right. And I believe that is so important that our children are taught at a very young age to give up their will. It is not my will. You know, school children, you could have the attitude in school that, you know, when a game is chosen, and I'm not sure how you do that to choose the games that you play in school, but when a game is chosen that maybe isn't your favorite game, you could have the attitude, well, if you're going to play that game, I ain't playing. You know, that is that spirit of the elder brother within you that is rising up, and it's rebelling against having your will gone against. But it's so much more enjoyable when you say, you know, even though this isn't my favorite game, I'm going to put my all into it, and I'm going to allow the others, I'm going to help the others to have a good time, the ones who enjoy this game. You are saying, not my will. You know, and that same spirit, you know, if it's not broken, the will of a person, that goes on into your youth. And, you know, that same spirit can come out in the youth group. You know, if a game is played or something is done in a way that does not appeal to you, you do not like, that spirit can come out in the youth as well. You know, if you're not playing my way, not doing it my way, I ain't playing. The elder brother rising up within. And, you know, that same spirit is going to follow you into adulthood. If you get married, it'll be there in your marriage. It'll come out in the church. It'll come out in all of your relationship with the people that you relate with. Anytime somebody crosses your will, that thing will rise up and say, my will. So, if we haven't already learned to say that, and this is speaking to myself, you know, there's no better time than now to learn to say, not my will. You know, I don't want to leave the impression here that, you know, you can break that will once and for all and it's over with. No, we have to do with the old man. Paul said that in Romans, you know, the good that I would, that I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, that I do. You know, it's the old man that we have to contend with. I believe it's a lifetime of situation by situation, case by case, game by game, looking to God, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to give us grace and to give us the humility to say, not my will, and to give up. You know, even if your parents made the mistake of not breaking your will before you were two, as I've already heard that, you know, the will of a child should be broken before the child is two. Even if your parents didn't do that for you, the elder brother today would rise up and blame your parents for that. But that is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will say, not my will. Accept that. You know, that is a part of who I am today, and by the grace of God, not my will is going to be done, but God's will. And the life of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is going to be alive in me. And you can take responsibility for your actions, for the decisions that you make. One by one, as those situations arise, you can choose to say, not my will, but God's will. My dad used to tell the story of how he would farm with mules. And when it was close to lunchtime, as the mules were going towards the barn, they'd have this lively gait, you know, pulling the plow or cultivator or disc, whatever they were pulling. And they could just really go for it and step out because they thought they were going home, you know, for lunch. And he'd get to the other end of the field and he'd turn around to make another round or two. And those mules could just barely get one foot in front of the other. You know, they could just barely go anymore. As soon as he got to the other end of the field and he'd turn around, I mean, the lively gait and the zip was back again. Man, we're going to the house. We're going to the barn. And he'd turn around again and the same thing happened. The old, I'm almost dead. You know, we look at a mule. You know, a mule is just a dumb animal that, you know, just looks out for its own good. But how many times are we like the mule? You know, as long as things are going my way, as long as things please me in my relationships and in my home and in the church, I mean, everything's just hunky-dory. And I've really got the zip and the vigor. But as soon as things go against the way I think, against my will, you know, I'm just tired out and I just don't have any get up and go anymore. You know, that nature of that mule is just like the elder brother, the old man. It always wants my will. But as Christians, we are called to not be like that. We are called to say, not my will, but the will of God, the will of Jesus be done. You know, the nature of the new man, the nature of Jesus Christ, is a nature filled with the agape love that cares about the well-being, the good of the other person. You know, and that nature will willingly give itself in subjection to the other person, to its brother, even though things go different from what he thinks it should, and it will still gladly pull its weight and do its best. Do you know what that is when within the church and things don't go my way, when that mule attitude comes out? What is that? I believe it's rebellion. It is rebellion against the will of God. You know, God never allows a situation to come in our lives that he doesn't have a purpose in allowing. God always has a purpose in everything he allows to come in our lives. There is something that he is working on and wanting to deal with. Maybe a sin, maybe something that we don't see on our blind side, and God wants to deal with that. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, our Sunday school lesson, the 1 Corinthians 11, the headship order. When I refuse to submit myself to that order, the order of God, I am rebelling against God. And I'm saying that my will is better than the will of God, the creator of the universe. That is false. That is from the enemy. You know, I'm saying I know better than God. Well, that's not true. As I was saying earlier, in order for God to show us his will, our hearts need to be prepared. So when we come to God in prayer and we pray, not my will, in our prayer, there's a quote that says, prayer is not that in which the will of God is bent to man, but it is that in which the will of man is bent to God. You know, picture yourself out on a lake in a boat with a dead motor and no paddle. And the only thing you have on that boat is an anchor. And there's no wind, you know, to blow you to the shore. So, you know, you may be 100 feet or whatever from the shore. So in order to get to that shore, you would take the anchor and you would throw that anchor out as far as you could towards the shore. And then you would pull yourself to the anchor. And you would repeat that. And you would pull yourself to the anchor. So when you are doing that, what are you moving? You know, so many times in our prayer, we come to God in prayer and we pray and we want my will. It's like we are trying to move the shore to us instead of moving the boat to the shore. That is what we try to do when we try to bend God's will to come within our way, our thinking, and our will. I mean, you can't expect to move the shore. The shore is established. And especially when you think about the shore as being God. God does not change. So we cannot change God. What needs to change is right here. To where we come to the point where I say, not my will, but God, you know best. So, I don't know today what is in your heart. And I don't know what those things are that God is wanting you to give up and to say, not my will in. You know, what if God would ask you to do something that would totally expose yourself to the church, to the congregation, and you might have the reputation as being, you know, a model Christian, and maybe there's a sin or something in your life, and God is wanting you to confess that sin. Could you in your heart say, not my will, and confess that sin in front of the whole church, and destroy that reputation that you've been a model Christian? What about the dreams, the goals, and the plans that you have made for your life? The things that you would like to do, that trip that you would like to take, that vehicle you would like to have, or that farm, or that dress, or that sweater, or those shoes, or, you know, whatever it is that something that you can give up and say, God, not my will, but I give that to you? Or if God takes a loved one from you, can you say, not my will? And maybe sometimes that needs to happen even before the loved one is even sick or dying in any way. Or what about when things just don't work at work? You know, things just don't come together. To be able to step back and to say, God, you know, this is not working, but it's not my will, but yours. You know, this, whatever I'm trying to do, it's not mine. I give it to you. You know, for you sisters, maybe, you know, when the baby is sick and the cake flops and the soup is burned, you know, to give that to God, say, you know, this is out of my control. I give it to you, not my will. Or maybe for us brethren, on Tuesday night when we come to the brethren's meeting and, you know, there's an important decision that needs to be made, a decision that is a matter of opinion. I'm not talking about things that violate Scripture, but I'm talking about things of opinion. And you have it firmly set in your mind how you think this thing should go and how the decision should be made. and it goes completely opposite from what you wanted. Do I have the grace to say, not my will? God, it's your church. You know, there is such release in acknowledging the authority, supreme authority of God, and to say, you know, God, it's your church. It's your life. It's your family. Whatever you want to do with it, not my will, but thine. You know, what God really wants for us is to come to the point where we desire what's best for the other above what we want and what our will is. God wants to bring us to the point where the most important thing in our life is the salvation of the people around us. Even to the point of where we'd come to the point of we'd be like Moses, where he said, you know, take my name out of your book, but save these people. And I think the Apostle Paul had that same mentality, where he said that I would even be willing to give my life. You know, when we come to that point to where the salvation of those around us is the most important thing to us, we have come to the point where we desire God's will above our will. I believe that's true. In closing, I'd like to look at a scripture yet in Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. It says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. See what we have to gain when we surrender ourselves to God? Then we are a part of the family of God. When we say from our heart, not my will, but the will of God. And granted, I mean, this will be a whole other message, but there is a time to say, I will. Just like the prodigal did. You know, when he was out there in the depths of sin, he came to himself. The first words out of his mouth were, I will. I will arise and go to my Father. You know, when the Spirit of God convicts us of sin in our lives, that is a time to say, I will. To say, I will arise, I will go to the Father, and I will plead with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, to forgive me. You know, I'm not worthy to be a part of your family, but just make me as one of your servants. There are times that we need to say, I will. I will discipline myself. I will get up in the morning when it's time to get up. I will read my Bible. I will pray to God. I will seek God's will with all my heart. You know, those are things that God wants us to say, I will in. But in those other areas I was talking about, of being in subjection to each other, that is where God wants us to say, not my will. Those things that are out of our control. Where God, you know, in the things of coming to repentance, is where God gives us choice. But other things, God gives us a choice of accepting the unfairness of life sometimes. And accepting the turmoil, the tribulation, the trial. And accepting God's goodness and God's grace in those things. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, it says, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And I would like to say this, that a submissive Christian, the Christian that from his heart can say, not my will, is a strong Christian. Not on his own merits, but a submissive Christian is one who is acknowledging The lordship of Jesus Christ is acknowledging his own weakness. And as Paul said, when I'm weak, I am strong. Not that I am strong, but Christ is strong. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I love that verse that someone quoted in the Sunday school memory verses, that the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it is not my will, but it is the will of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow before him in prayer.